das Ohren ab.
Jewish year, and this is a time of repentance, turning to the Lord, getting right with God, and so forth. And so the Sabbath, in the middle of the holidays, is called Shabbat Shuvah, which is the Sabbath of returning or the Sabbath of repentance. And let's turn to the Haftorah portion today, which is Hosea chapter 14. Hosea 14, which is where this the Shabbat, where the Shuvah theme comes from. Hosea 14, which is the last chapter of Hosea. And we want to begin in verse 1. Hosea 14, beginning in verse 1. Now, this is what it says in Hebrew. Actually, it's in verse 2 in the Hebrew Bibles, verse 1 of the English Bibles. It says this: Shuva Yisrael ad Adonai Elohecha, or return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Now, the word, if you look here in the English, the word return or repent is the word shuv or shuva in Hebrew. And it means, generally it's defined, it's often translated as repentance, but the actual meaning is the word return. And I believe that it's actually a better word. The word return, I believe, is a better word than the word repent. And the reason I say that is this, is return, what return means is that you had it once, you lost it, and now you're trying to regain it. That's what it means to return. It means you had something at one time, then you lost it or you left, wherever that situation, and now you've got to go back and try to revive it. And what's interesting is that this is the call of the prophet here, Hosea, in chapter 14, where he says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. In fact, that is the call of all of the prophets in the scriptures. It's always to return, which means that somewhere along the line, the Israelites lost something that the prophet feels that's important, that's always connected to the Lord, and he's calling his people to come back, to get back to where they were in the beginning at an earlier time. Let me just quote to you from some of the prophets what they have to say on this theme. This comes from Isaiah. He says this, the prophet Isaiah says, Shuvah Eli, return to me, for I have redeemed you. Jeremiah says this, Im tashuv Yisrael, if you will return, O Israel, Gihum Adonai Eli tashuv, return to me, declares the Lord. In other words, if you will return, O Israel, return to me, declares the Lord. Joel, the prophet Joel says this, Shuvu Adai, Bechal, Livavchem, return to me with all of your heart. And then Zechariah and Malachi say this, Shuvu Alai, Nihum Adonai, Tzivaot, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Ve'ashuv Alechem, and I will return to you. Each of the prophets are declaring to return to something that has obviously been lost. There's something that's happened to the Israelites that they've lost it. And these words are as true today to us as they were back to them, because there's a tendency to lose what we've got. And you know why there's that tendency? It's actually a tendency that exists in the world of physics. And it's called, for those of you that are familiar with it, the second law of thermodynamics, which says this. That law says that things that are left to themselves become increasingly chaotic. In other words, you move from order to chaos if things are left to themselves. But it takes a hand, it takes an action to bring things back into order. This is true in life, and it's true in our relationships with the Lord. Let me give you an example that we're all familiar with in the realm of chaos, and that includes our homes, right? Our homes, right? What happens when you leave your home to itself? It starts to become chaos. I mean, think about, you know, one of my greatest desires, if I could be given a gift, or if I had the ability to have a great invention, I would love to be able to invent self-cleaning furniture or self-cleaning floors, that all of a sudden when dust and particles hit, it just soaks it up or something. It's like it's just obliterated and gone. It would be such a great thing. But what happens is when things are left to themselves, they become increasingly chaotic. And so what has to happen around our homes? What do? We have to take an action to return our house to order in some way. And it usually is not a thrilling thing to do. Or in other words, another way of looking at it is we have to restore the house house to its condition. Those of you that know, when you invite people over to your homes, you have a bunch of people, we have teens, you know, we have teens in our home, we have teens that come to our home, and after they've been in our home, it's changed, okay? It really has changed, and there is disorder, right? And it takes an action. Now, we would love them. I mean, we have great kids. We love the kids, but we would love to see them take an action towards order, right? To return, to shuv or shuvu, to return the way things were. But somebody has to do it. It's usually one of us. But let's take another example. During the hurricane that we just had, think about what happened when the traffic signals were knocked out around the city. What happened as a result? There was chaos at all the intersections. In fact, it was so chaotic, I got so annoyed at all the drivers because, and I think I've said this earlier, do you know that's the law that when the traffic signals are out at an intersection, you're supposed to stop? No matter how big a highway it is, you're supposed to stop if there's a traffic signal that's not working. But no one stopped, at least the first few days. And so it was like this log jam in the middle of every intersection. It was incredible. It was chaos. So what had to happen? The answer was that when they returned the lights or they restored the lights to their original condition, then there was order, right? Order resulted. But things that are left to themselves become increasingly chaotic. To have order, to have direction, to have purpose, there must take an action. The answer is to return to something that existed before. Now, the same is true with the Lord. The same is true with our relationship with Him. We need reminders to return to the Lord, just like this particular day, Shabbat Shuvah. If we are left to ourselves without reminders, what happens? We begin to slowly drift away from the Lord. Most people who are walking with God at some time, don't just suddenly say one day, I'm not going to walk with God anymore. This is a waste of time, and I'm just going to turn my back on the Lord and go away. Most people, that doesn't happen to most. What happens is it's very gradual. It's slow. It drifts. You begin to drift away, and it becomes chaotic. Do you know that life without God is chaos? In fact, in the scriptures, what's interesting about this is that in the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth, the scriptures say this literally, that before the Lord actually, when the earth was formless and void, it was in a state of chaos. And the Lord brought order to the earth by creating light and creating the sun and creating the all the stars and everything else, and then eventually creating the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the human kingdom, and so on. He created order out of chaos, because things that are left to themselves become increasingly chaotic. Can you imagine a world that didn't have the Lord's presence in it? As bad as this world can get sometimes, you know, when you think about what goes on in Afghanistan today or in Iraq today, when order has broken down in this complete chaos, can you imagine what that would be like if the whole world were in that kind of place? It would be absolute chaos. That's a place without the Lord's presence. We need reminders. Shuva Eli, to return to me, says the Lord. The question is, what are we returning to? What are we returning to? I remember when I first met the Lord. I remember it very distinctly. And I remember all the circumstances around my first meeting the Lord. And I'm sure many of you have the same kinds of memories. This is the way it was for me. I remember being invited to a meeting, going to somebody's home, didn't know what to expect. They had told me about this Yeshua person. Of course, they called him Jesus because they weren't Jewish. And I said at the time, I wasn't interested because I'd had years of religious training. And besides, I'm Jewish and Jewish people don't believe in Jesus. And so they said, no, come, it's different, it's different. I said, okay. So I went. And I went to that first meeting. And I walked in, I didn't know what to expect, walked in, sat down, and people began to sing some songs like we do here, and this guy talked about the Lord and stuff, and there was, I didn't understand it, I'll be honest, I understood nothing that was going on, but there was something there. There was something that was drawing me, something that I knew I didn't have, even though I wasn't like bummed out and down and out or whatever the situation was, but there was, I knew I was lacking something, and I saw it in those people there. And then the leader gave me the scriptures to read, which I'd never read, and I began to read, particularly in the book of Matthew, about this man named Yeshua. I'd never heard anything about Yeshua ever. And so I started reading it, and even though I didn't understand it all, there was something there that was drawing me. And it was like, wow, this guy, the things that he says, the things that he does, there's something here that I've been looking for in my life that I don't have, even though I don't fully understand that. A couple of months later, I was in a Bible study with these same group of people. I hadn't really made a commitment to the Lord yet because I didn't even understand what that meant. But during the study, the Lord revealed himself to me, and all of a sudden my heart just opened up, and it was like I'd been in a dream world, and suddenly the veil was removed, and suddenly I saw everything like the way it really was. And it was like, wow. I mean, it was so exciting. It was so invigorating. It was life-changing. And I saw him. And as a result of that time, I had an excitement to read the scriptures. I had an excitement to worship. I had an excitement to be around all my new friends and talk about the things of God and hear about them. There was a hunger in me that just couldn't be suppressed because I had met him whom I had never known. You know what? That's similar to a new love relationship that you and I may develop. When we first have a relationship with someone of the opposite sex, or we first get married, There's like this excitement. We want to be with them all the time. In fact, we're going to introduce the new Mr. and Mrs. Mark Kramer. Stand up there, folks. For the first time. Amen. Now, you can sit down. See, since they got back, they've been back 10 days. Is that right? About 10 days? 10 days? About 10 days? I haven't talked to them. Haven't seen them. Wonder what they've been doing. You see? It's they want to spend their time together because there's a new love. You see, there's a new relationship. It's something there. It's invigorating and it's exciting. But over time, and we cover this in our premarital counseling, by the way, over time, there's a tendency to drift away, right? You get used to the other person. Things become disorderly, you know, things around. They suddenly living together, they suddenly realize that, oh, things don't quite jive the way we thought they were going to jive, right? And so suddenly you become a little annoyed, a little irritated. And over time, it can turn into disorder, into chaos, and into disenchantment. And you know what has to happen to ensure that that doesn't happen? They must do things to renew their relationship. To renew the love, to return to the way it was, to remind themselves of the excitement of the beginning, because it can continue, but you have to be reminded. Otherwise, it just disperses away. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. We see the same thing in the scriptures. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2. In verse 4, this is Yeshua speaking to one of the early communities after the resurrection. He says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. See? You've forsaken your first love, that excitement. You've forsaken it. Now notice what he says. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent or return. The Hebrew word is teshuv. Return and do the things that you did at first. You are to return and to do the things you did at first. This is what it says in Hebrew. He says, yet I hold this against you. Ki natashta, for you have left. Et ahavtaka harishona, you have left your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Vehushuva bahaseh kemasecha harishonu. And return to the things that you did at first. You've left your first love, and you need to return to the things that you did at first. What are those things? You see, Yeshua says that we've left our first love, and there's that old adage in the scripture, there's this old adage, it's not in the scripture, that says, if you're not feeling close to God, I wonder who moved. right? And the scripture says this, draw near to the Lord, and he will draw near to you. For us to be rekindled with that fire and that flame, just like that new love relationship, we need to return to the things that we did at first. What are those things? What are those things that we did at first? First of all, we have to position ourselves to be in his presence like we did in the beginning. I remember what it was like in the beginning when I first met the Lord. I wanted to be around these people all the time. I wanted to worship the Lord and to sing these songs and to hear from the scriptures. I wanted it because I was hungry and it was filling my heart. And it's like a new romance. All of us used to hang together in the Lord. Now, what happens is things come up over time. It gets to be old hat, you know. You lose that kindling and so on. And so now people, you come to services, you know, occasionally. You come to meetings occasionally. And now instead of it being a hunger to meet with God, you see, the scripture says this, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst. The Lord is always here. The Lord is always present. We can always be changed on every single time we meet with God. But rather than that, what happens is you come, you have to get up Saturday morning, I'm tired, man, I've had a long week, it's hard to get out, you know, get here rushing, get into an argument with somebody, you know, and so you already get in somewhat of a bad spirit. Then you come into the congregation, you run into someone that you've already had a rift with earlier in the week, and then you start looking at them during the congregation, you're thinking about the way people are dressed or the way people are acting, you know, and your mind is on everything but the Lord. But if you come with an expectation to meet the Lord, you will return to the way it was. There's something is going to happen to you just like it was in the very beginning. There's going to be like a fullness of feeling, a lifting. The way, you know, every Shabbat I pray, Lord, let us leave here different from when we came in. The reason we do that is because we have met with the Lord. That's our goal. We should come here with the expectation to meet with God and come here all the time. Don't allow things to get in the way, because if they do, it's going to be like the second law of thermodynamics. Things are going to be left to themselves, become more chaotic. You have excuses for not coming. You're too tired. And so on and so forth. And then finally, there's not that hunger for the Lord anymore. And now, all of a sudden, this congregation doesn't really fill my needs anymore. No, it's not the congregation. It's that you've moved away from the Lord. That's the problem. That's number one. Number two is this. I remember, as a young believer, I was told, you need to spend time with God every day, reading his word and praying. You know, it's interesting, in the Orthodox Jewish tradition, they meet with God at least twice and sometimes three times a day. Morning, afternoon, and evening, where they come in prayer and they seek the Lord and everything else. That's an incredible, and it's a mitzvah. It's a commandment that they do this. How much more, those of us who know Yeshua as the Messiah, can't meet with God every single day and be impacted with the word and prayer. And I remember in the very early years, I started that habit, meeting with the Lord every single day, and it built up my relationship with God. But then over time, you know, I've got a job that requires me to get up early in the morning. It's hard. You know, I get home late at night. It's hard. I'm so tired, it's hard. I just want to sit in front of the, you know, boob tube and just relax, right? You know, and just chill out. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. And then all of a sudden, you know, instead of it being every day, it's every other day. Then it's once a week. And then all of a sudden we wonder why we don't feel that close to the Lord anymore. You've removed yourselves from the presence of the Lord. You've got to return. To return to the Lord our God, as the scripture says. This is the season that God's calling us to return to him, right? Daily. Number three, we remove ourselves from others. As I already mentioned in the very beginning, I wanted to be around the people, that my new friends. I mean, I came from I was into a lot of junk as a teenager, and I was running with a rough crowd. And finally, when I came to the Lord, I made a whole new set of friends, and my friendships changed, my lifestyle changed, everything changed pretty radically, actually. And I wanted to be around them all the time. We had a group that we did everything together. It was great. But then over time, you know, little problems develop between people. You know, you don't feel the same. You start getting a little into negativity and everything else, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to make it as much of an emphasis anymore to spend time with these folks. And what happens is when we move away from the people that can encourage us all the time, what happens is we lose the fire that we had with God, the sharpness. And again, it doesn't happen all of a sudden. It just doesn't happen like that. Slowly and gradually, and then you wonder, what's happened? You know what's happened? It's real simple. You're backslidden. That's what's happened. You've backslidden. You've fallen away from the Lord. And you didn't mean for it to happen, but it just happened. And the Lord says this, Shuvah Eli, return to me, says the Lord. And then you get a new start and return to that first love that Yeshua talked about. I'm going to leave you with these questions. Have you left your first love? Have you ever had it? The Lord says, return to me. This is the beginning of a new year. Return to me, says the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, your call is to return. I know I need to return, oh God. It's so easy for things just to slip away, to take over, to consume my time and effort. But Lord, Father, I desire to return to you, Lord. And Father, I believe there may be even people in this room who have never returned. They've never even known you. Father, that's the time to begin. And it's so simple, and yet it requires a lot. It's simple because all it means to say, Lord, I can't do it myself. I need Yeshua, who lived for me, died for me, and rose again for me so that I might have a living and powerful relationship with you and have my sins forgiven. But Lord, at the same time, you're requiring me to give up control of my life. And I pray this for anyone right now who has not made Yeshua to be their Messiah and their Lord previously. All you have to do is say, Lord, it's me that he's talking about. I've never made that decision. And today, I want to know you. Today, I'm willing to relinquish control of my life and to serve you. Father, I ask Yeshua to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I plan to start a new life from now on. Lord, fill me with your Spirit today and all of your power. And I say I will serve you from now on, O God. And Lord, I pray for all the rest of us who know you. This is the time to return to that first love. Father, rekindle the way it was, Lord. Spark something in us, Lord, no matter what we're going through, to say, yes, I want to be in the presence of the Almighty and for my life to be changed. Lord, I return today. I repent today of my actions. And I say, yes, I'm coming back to you today. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to close with the Aaronic benediction. If you need prayer after the service, please feel free to come forward. Someone will pray for you. The bookstore is open, especially for visitors. Please come in there. You'll get a free gift if you bring in your blue card. And Oneg is downstairs. And, you have something to say? Okay, let me close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Yared Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. And we all said, Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let's have a good week in God. Amen.